Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hello and welcome to Industrial Talk, the industrial ecosystem focused on your success by featuring industry leaders, companies that are solving problems and who are passionate about collaborating. You know why? They're bold, they're brave, they're daring greatly each and every day, and they're changing lives and they are changing the world. That's why we here at Industrial Talk celebrate them all the time. That's what we do. All right, in the hot seat, we have a gentleman by the name of Tom Bonney. He is a partner and managing director with Deloitte. We're going to be talking about oil and gas, and I'm telling you, this is a podcast for you to take notes down because he's just nailing the bullet points. He's just saying, do this, do this, do this. This is what we see, blah, blah, blah. Let's get cracking. Yeah, so I sat down with Tom and we had a great conversation. This is Last Barrel Standing. It is a blog or article that he wrote. It's out on Industrial Talk. Of course, it's out on Deloitte. And it really just nails down tremendous steps on what's taking place within the oil and gas industry, what to do, where it's going. I'm just telling you, paper and pencil on this particular conversation, he brings the truth lumber in a big way. Couple of items. One, we've got a hashtag called We Are Industry. And that is just a celebration. And it is just a hashtag that is a culmination of all the stories out here that are featuring true human successes that exist within industry. And I just think, and here it is, a shirt. If you want one of these shirts, if you're looking out on video, it's just hashtag. It's a black shirt with white lettering called We Are Industry. But I'm telling you right now, industry is just what it is. It's human. It's people. It's solving problems. And it is truly wrapped around education, collaboration, and innovation so that we all succeed. We need it more than ever. We need to be able to collaborate. That is my soapbox. Make it happen. Make it so. Hashtag We Are Industry. The second item, Industrial Talk will be broadcasting from IoT Solutions World Congress. That is in Barcelona. We'll be broadcasting there live, so be on the lookout for that, as well as broadcasting from DistribuTech, live there too as well, featuring incredible, incredible companies and individuals that are, again, solving problems, innovating, making our lives better. And then finally, we're going to be at the Digital Manufacturing Summit. And that's in Chicago. Same thing there. Incredible companies are all going to be there. A lot of fun. A lot of great opportunities to learn, educate, a lot of great opportunities to collaborate. That's what we need to do and definitely innovate, especially today. All right. Now, again, I go out to Tom Bonney's stat card out on LinkedIn. Yeah, you'll be impressed. And the conversation, you think, oh my gosh, we're going to be talking about oil and gas. It's going to get down into the weeds. No. My notes, the article itself, very, very strategic, very focused on this is it, point. The way I love to rock and roll, and it's all out there. Go to industrialtalk.com, find out more. There are some backlinks there. So let's get on with the interview because I don't want to waste your time. This is Tom Bonney. Deloitte is the company. Let's get cracking. Tom, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for finding time in your busy schedule to talk to the best listeners in the world. How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. It's a nice sunny day in Houston, so can't complain.
I'm in New Orleans, right outside of New Orleans, and I'm sure you're getting the great weather too. I'm doing the same thing. It's sort of weird because I got spring fever.
We should probably do this outside next time.
Yeah, but you know how it is. It's the same thing in Houston, same thing in Texas, same thing in Louisiana. Today's good. Tomorrow we'll probably, you know, sweat our tushes off. You know, it'll be completely different and muggy, and then you want to stay inside. All right. For the listeners, let's get the sort of level set. I've looked at your stat card out there on LinkedIn. Massive skills, but without me sort of yammering on, give us a little background on who Tom is.
So I won't tell you the number of years I've been doing this type of work, because I've run out of digits to say how long I've been in this type of business.
Yeah, shut up.
It's a combination of both industry. I was at a service company before and consulting as well. For Deloitte, I head up our core operations practice. So by that, you know, it's like, how do you actually manage the oil and gas platforms and things like that? How do you maximize potential, et cetera? And then a lot of that today means also applying digital, different types of solutions for them. And so I lead up a group that focuses on those types of aspects and capabilities.
So you're focused on digital stuff that is impacting oil and gas, right?
Yeah, that winds up being a lot of what we do today, just because it's not about doing things traditional ways of working and just Lean Six Sigma and a process flow. It's actually, how do you reimagine and enable that with leveraging different tools such as digital?
Yeah, that's a hot topic. Now, listeners, we're going to talk about an article or a report that was generated by Tom. And it's an interesting report, and I like the title. It is catchy. It is pithy at the same time. Last Barrel Standing. Give the listeners a little background on the premise behind that particular article.
Sure. So essentially, if you think about it, it's like in every energy scenario people are talking about now and the future of oil and gas and that, analysts will still all say that, you know, oil and gas is here for the foreseeable future. It's still part of the energy mix. Now, that said, you know, it's not about a debate of if the energy transition is happening. It's more discussion around pace as to when that will happen. So in a world where we still need oil and gas, and there's also this energy transition happening, we kind of see four different types of upstream operators evolving over time. And those will have to evolve to say, if you really want to be, you know, last and fit for any oil price, et cetera, like that, there are going to be operating model implications across these four different types of archetypes, as we've called them, and how are operators going to adjust their operating models to essentially, for those who decide to stay in oil and gas, be that last barrel standing. That's essentially the premise.
You mentioned briefly four points, four different. Yeah. Can you sort of expand upon that, please?
Sure. So the archetypes is essentially, it's, you know, I'll start at the bookends. On one side, we have one that we call the hydrocarbon stalwart. That's essentially the operator who says, you know what? I'm fundamentally an oil and gas company. This is what I do. I'm not changing my portfolio. I'm sticking to this. On the opposite side of that is what we call the net zero pioneer. So it's exactly right. It is the opposite of it. It's someone who says, you know what? I'm actually getting out of oil and gas and I'm pivoting to new energies. So that's the bookends. In the middle, we have those who take a little bit of flavor of each. So the one after hydrocarbon stalwart is the one that we call a low carbon producer. Similar to the stalwarts in the fact that they're still saying, hey, I'm raising my hand, I'm an upstream player, but they recognize that there's a need to decarbonize and are making intentional choices to do so. They are balancing the economics of whatever play they're in with the environmental impact. And then the next one, which rounds out the four, is what we call the green follower. So just before the net zero. And those are those who are saying, I'm going to go a step further than low carbon producers. I will slowly start pivoting out of my oil and gas portfolio, especially those that start not necessarily being top of my revenue generation, margin generation, et cetera, like that. I'll start pivoting, and I'm going to start pivoting a bit more into new energies. But I'm not going to jump head deep the way the net zero did, but I will over time start adjusting my portfolio. That's essentially the spectrum of four.
What was number three? I didn't really catch it. I got it, but what's the title of number three?
Green follower.
Green. Uh-huh. Now, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm a stalwart, the hydrocarbon stalwart, right? I'm all in. Do you foresee the necessity eventually, because I'm stubborn, for lack of a better term, me then dipping my toes in the low carbon and then going down that? Do you think that it happens? What's that sort of culture taking place there?
So what I'd say is across all four archetypes, you know, there are some very obvious operating model aspects that need to be considered. And some of those obvious are is, hey, if I'm not drilling and completing wells or managing oil anymore. I'm one of these, what's it called, net zero pioneers. And I'm, let's say my portfolio is full of wind. Well, I don't need a reservoir engineer anymore. So that's the obvious. We're going to change capabilities and that we need based on it. But then there's three things that we see regardless of which one you choose. You're going to have to do a flavor of this. And when I say a flavor of this, how far you go in depends on how much you're sticking with oil and gas or you're moving to new types. But the three things that we talk about is, regardless, everyone needs to lean out base business and drive capital efficiency. This is fundamental to being the last barrel standing. The economics will change. You want to be the one that is fit. If I'm the hydrocarbon stalwart and I want to be fit for any play, I need to make sure I have a very nimble, agile organization that can run at multiple different cost layers. That's going to be the first one. The second one is decarbonizing the E&P value chain. That was kind of your question. Everyone, to some degree, is going to need to show that we're at least doing our best to minimize our carbon footprint. So the hydrocarbon stalwarts, hey, I'm not going to flare as much. I'm going to take certain things out. Now, as you go across that spectrum, well, I'm changing my portfolio. I'm moving into clean energy. I'm doing things like that. So that's part of that decarbonization. But the spectrum of what you go depends on where you fall on that. The third thing that is, if I think about it, it's like, so I'm leaning out. I'm going to be more cost efficient in everything I do. I'm going to make smart decisions. And then I'm going to be better at understanding my carbon footprint and how to prep that. So that means the third thing is I need to be intentional about how I leverage digital as a core enabler to monitor, execute, optimize all of these things. So those are kind of the three aspects around the operating model that we think we'll have, you're going to have to deep dive on more.
Yeah. And I think that, I think the creating efficiency, being a lot more nimble, requires a digital conversation, right?
It does.
I don't think you can achieve whatever that objective is without a concerted effort into your digital conversation, right?
Yeah. What I'd say too is there's probably you're going to get more numbers. We start with four, and then we go to three things. But under that first one, that lean out the base business and drive capital efficiency.
Yeah.
What I share in more detail in the article though is around, to do that, there's three areas you need to focus on and mentalities you need to change. And so if I'm really going to lean out and drive capital efficiency, what does that mean? First thing is this balance between value versus cost. I need to change my mindset around that. And when I say cost, in historical times, oil and gas companies were like, hey, market cycle happens. Market price is down. Just slash my cost. Just cut. And I wind up making sometimes decisions that will bite me in the rear later in the future. And by that, I mean, it's like, here's an example of one operator I work with in the height of, 2015, 2016. They're cutting all their facilities costs out on a pad. And the problem with doing that is, few years later, they're like, hey, I want to work differently. I don't want to touch every well every day. I want to be able to do more remotely. You didn't invest in the automation or the OT that you needed to be able to do a lot of that because you were focused on cutting down costs. Yeah. So you have to be, this is where the value aspect comes in. You have to rethink and take time to do kind of what I call a structural reset. So I will still do some of those traditional cost takeout. But instead of looking at just Lean Six Sigma, because that's the way to cut my processes, it's going to be about reimagining that process, streamlining it, automating it, but also challenging how I currently work. So sticking with the unconventional, I was just mentioning it, there's an approach called agile manufacturing, a factory model type thing of how I deliver wells, et cetera. So when I say, hey, we do this in unconventional. Well, why wouldn't I think about that in my conventional assets as well? Are there aspects of how we iterate short cycle doing MVPs? Can we apply that to the traditional long lead that it takes to do a well design? And we've seen some companies starting to do that outside of an unconventional portfolio, applying it to a conventional. So we need to see that happen. So that's the value versus cost. Then the other aspect of this lean out and capital efficiency is collaborate versus compete. So me, I've worked for a service company. I know this mentality of it's us versus them. We need to change that dichotomy. When oil prices are typically high, hey, service companies come along and they're like, we're charging you more. In low oil prices, operators beat up the service company. I don't see that working in the future. So be last barrel standing. You need to drive every efficiency you can, drive everything you can to improve your margins. So that means rethinking this partnership. So can you create a structure where we want to jointly, you know, work together for each other's benefit? That it's not about just contract incentives that say do XYZ, you get this dollar amount. It's actually, you know what? We both realize we have some inefficiencies in a process. What if we did as an example, a joint study and we work together to figure out what those true bottlenecks are? And then along the way, maybe I figure out that as a service company, these are 10 things I'm giving you. The number 8 on that list, you never actually use. You never get any benefit out of it. So what if I just said I stopped doing that to you? I'm going to reduce my cost for you. So maybe you benefit me back by saying, okay, I'll give you a bit of that savings, or I'll give you a little extra work to incentivize you in these other ways. That's creating more of a mutual trust and collaboration. And the other thing we need to see is what I kind of call like a 360 degree ecosystem, suppliers and us working together type area, where regardless of what's happening across all my field and all my assets, we have this seamless visibility to collaborate. Hey, don't send a truck out to that pad to pick up a tank or anything like that right now. We have issues. You don't need to incur demurrage here. We'll send you stuff. More dynamically collaborating to each other's benefits, not just to each other's pocketbook, so to speak. And then the last one, and I'll take a nice big deep breath, is, you know, if we talk about value versus cost, collaborate versus compete. Well, the last one in this lean out theme is capabilities versus size. So in the old traditional sense, downturn happens, I just cut my headcount. But maybe I need to rethink what the true structure of my organization needs to mean. I need to challenge what work needs to get done, where that work needs to get done, and who needs to do that work. And I mean front office. Back office roles, I think the industry already understands we can do things differently. But there's a key learnings in COVID and remote work that I think a lot of these operators now started to get a sense for, and companies, service companies started to get a sense for. Actually, you know, what if I take advantage of very smart folks who work in different countries and different regions and use them to collaborate with me to deliver work? I don't necessarily need everybody to sit here in Houston or whichever country you're based at. We can find different ways of working together. Also, what oil and gas companies need to do is, if I look about what it takes for me to drill, complete, manage production, and all that, do all those core engineering roles always need to be on my book? Or can I say, hey, there's this concept of a gig economy. There's this concept of service companies or other ways of outsourcing, so to speak, some of that traditional work that we say has to be us. You still need some of it in-house, but it's a way of creating a base load that I always do, and then I manage the rest differently. But that's not what I saw in the downturn. Was the minute you need to start cutting, it's like, okay, you get rid of all external services, and then I make everybody my own folks do work. But it's like, maybe if you use service companies and others in a different way previously, can you not continue to do that by re-challenging what those core competencies really are for you internally that you must always have on your books? I'll pause there. So that kind of describes the lean out.
Yeah, this is rich information. Definitely. A couple of things that I want to point out. Do you find that the pandemic as a whole sort of facilitated this type of a conversation? Because what you're touching on is a human element, right? It's all great to balance value versus cost, but you have this whole traditional legacy thinking over here that we don't do it that way. We've done it this way for years and years, right? But now I've got this pandemic. I got to be more nimble. I've got to be more agile. I've got to be flexible. Your point on collaborate, that is like, if it was 4 letters, it'd be a 4 letter word. But it's not 4 letters. It's a longer word. But do you find that this is all good, but do you find there's a resistance, a reluctance from a human perspective to do any of this?
So the collaborate versus compete was two different CEOs. And one of them more recently said, the service companies know me the best. the only way I'm ever going to really get better than that is I have to work with them. So that's one side. Some see it. Then there was another one where we were doing a workshop and all that. And I was chatting away and I'm saying, okay, what about this theme here? And his perspective was, that sounds good on paper. At the end of the day, I just don't trust them. Not going to happen. And it's that trust, that lack of trust is the hard thing. And it's really going to, and it's on both sides, by the way. It's not like it's just one direction, but it is a matter of like, who's going to be that first person to say, I'm going to dip my toe. I'm going to take a shot at doing that. I want to think a little differently. I think that that person who does is going to be the, that company will be the trendsetter and be the one that then delivers that. To be that last bear standing, I can squeeze out every single cost that I can, or I can deliver more value, more revenue as I can. And that doesn't do it by just using my own brain cells.
You're hitting on all cylinders, and I really like, and yeah, we can say, hey, this is an oil and gas, but I find this, this approach applicable to manufacturing, not just oil and gas, but manufacturing and other industries where, hey, you don't have all the answers. And if there's a way of being able to work with you in some way, shape, or form where I'm more efficient, you're more efficient, we have, and we're sharing information that's meaningful, that's a hell of a home run.
It is. And I mean, I won't know the manufacturing business as well, but it's, you have case studies out there. They, I think, can do it. What sometimes feedback from the oil and gas side is like, well, that's much more, could cut us the wrong way, but it's like, you know what you're building. You know the pieces. Well, we are sometimes drilling and doing things differently, and we need to be a bit more nimble. So I'm not sure who I need to work with. And I'm like, okay, but that doesn't mean this is a barrier to being able to try it and to create a different type of partnership with someone. It just might be a bit easier for an auto company than it is for you, because it's not as simple as I'm only going to rely on this person to give me parts. But you, right now, it's all I hear is the buts. And it's like, we need to think a little differently. But the downturn, I think the more recent one and all that in 2020 is getting people to rethink a little bit, because you also have to think 2008, 2015, 2020, that's not been very fun for oil and gas. It's been a bit too short in between all these cycles.
And honestly, you bring up another good point. Being in oil and gas and seeing the changes. And I mean, these are swings. These are massive market swings that just go up and down. Me, if I was king of oil and gas, I would want to create something a little bit more, one, predictable, a little bit more collaborative and more mutually beneficial type of thing. Because this up and down pump handle, that's a tough way to do business and it's a tough way to live.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's... It hasn't been a fun few times for the industry. No.
You wake up and you're saying, well, I didn't see that one coming. Now what do I do?
No, I think my wife is getting sick of me going, oh, no, not another one. And so, but you learn to live with it. And the last two are markedly different than 2008 in the sense that 2008 was a very quick down and then back up. But 2015 was when the whole expression lower for longer started coming out. And just as we thought things were getting better, COVID and all that came along. And then that derailed certain things. And but I would tell you, those operators that are very successful are the ones who have been using this time to say, I'm going to start challenging. I'm going to start enabling myself through digital or other things to drive a better cost structure, a better revenue structure. How do I maximize everything I can?
I think there's some regulatory pressures as well on reducing the carbon footprint too. So you can be that stalwart, but eventually you're going to have to play that game and you're going to have to reduce that footprint in some way, shape or form, or it's going to cost you.
And that's why I was saying, like, one of our elements is decarbonizing, because regardless, even if you're like, you know what, I'm here to stay and I'm just going to keep playing, you will have people looking over your shoulder. You will have people calling you out. So as long as you're saying, hey, I'm doing my part, doesn't mean I'm going to stop drilling and completing wells, but I'm not just needlessly flaring. I'm trying to find ways to reduce my emissions. Yeah. Some of the larger independents and all that, I think, are the ones who are going to focus more on, like, all right, carbon capture and different techniques and things like that. So moving a little bit more, but you will you're going to have a spectrum.
But again, and I can't say this enough, it is a digital conversation. How do you capture that data? How do you mine that data? How do you make tactical decisions from the data to be able to achieve all these incredible points that you point out? I mean, it just is. And one of the questions I have for you is that with this, with all of this focus, this is great. And the need for that ability to be able to start reaching in, doing that digital side, there's a trust factor there too. Because there are stories out there of people trying to deploy some digital strategy and it failed, or it's cost, or it didn't work the way it needs to. We've got to get past that too, don't you think?
So for me, that means it's success. Because if every single digital project you do works, then you're not trying hard enough. You're not really trying to do anything.
That's a spin
out there. So, but it's that's what they'll tell you, is like, you, the whole point is experiment. You need to do the easy, obvious ones to know. I need to do production optimization. Can I use analytics to control my artificial lift? Absolutely. Then you're going to have to experiment and try out some new types of techniques. And that, I was on a call with a client earlier who said, you know, they have an idea. Can't share you all the details, but let's say, hey, we want to try this, but I'm getting some pushback within the organization because they're saying, well, we don't see anyone else doing this. Okay. So, you know, is it a good idea? Your asset base and what you have, it's essentially they're looking at maximizing the value of the hydrocarbon from upstream, midstream, and downstream. Yeah. And it's like, by the way, there are people trying this out, but it is a hard one to solve, because traditionally I fix upstream and downstream worries about downstream. We don't necessarily work together. Well, they have a unique situation where they own a lot of that and they can feed themselves in that. And they're like, can I think about differently? That sometimes, guess what? Downstream, maybe you're going to take a hit on your numbers because it's going to benefit upstream. But as a company overall, that's the right thing to do. But it's that mentality of saying, just because it's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't try it. And you should try some of these. But if everything you do is a complete success, you're not trying hard.
See, that is the first time I've heard that spin. I like that. You're absolutely
don't call it spin.
Well, no, it's not a negative. It's a positive, because you point out something that I'm a big fan of. If you're not pushing the envelope, you're not failing, you're not trying, even from an incremental perspective, start small, scale, whatever thing you do. If you're not failing, when I say fail, not a negative, you're not learning. And you're not creating value as you continue to go. Yeah. You're awesome, Tom. That is, I'll have that link to that report, right? Your last barrel standing, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'll shoot it over here. It's obviously on our Deloitte.com website, and an easy one to just type in there, search last barrel. See. And it will come up. And we can give listeners a direct feed on your website as well.
Okay, so you're going to have that backlink, listeners. That's going to be a must read. We've just sort of scratched the surface quite a bit. But, man, talk about a rich conversation. I've got a lot. My notes were overflowing with numbers.
And good.
And I like that, man. I like the fact that I can do that. Oh, number one. Oh, yeah, okay. A stalwart. Oh, okay, I got that. Low carbon. Oh, okay, I got that too. Makes it easier for me. How do people get a hold of you, Tom?
You can go ahead and just give me an email at T as in Tom, obviously, Bonnie, B-O-N-N-Y, at Deloitte.com. Got any questions? Want to have a richer chat? Always happy to connect with folks.
Like it. All right, listeners. That's Tom. Tom, you were wonderful.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you for being on Industrial Talk. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. I'm going to have all the contact information for Tom, and as well as the link, and go out to industrialtalk.com and get it. And just get that backlink. You got to start learning. And I think that Tom's hitting on all cylinders here. Thank you very much. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you, Tom, for being on Industrial Talk. Absolute joy. I love the bullet by bullet solutions that are taking place that from your Last Barrel Standing article. Absolutely exceptional. Thank you. And I'm telling you right now, you need listeners, you need trusted individuals, trusted companies to help your journey into this digital transformation. Tom Bonney, Deloitte, absolutely spot on, trusted. That's what Industrial Talk is all about, featuring trusted professionals that are solving problems. All right, again, we're going out to IoT Solutions World Congress. Look out for those live conversations with the best around the world, as well as DistribuTech, my wheelhouse, utilities, love it. It's going to be exceptional, and we're all talking about the innovation. We're all educating. We're all collaborating. All right. People, be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with people like Tom, and you're going to change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned. Do not go away.